Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, it's Denise Eckert coming on here, and I love sharing different ideas and techniques to create a better life for yourself. And today I've got Brooke Kikos, RTT therapist, trauma recovery coach, who helps women heal from childhood trauma and abusive relationships. She's an author, international speaker, and domestic violence abuse advocate. Welcome, Brooks.
Thank you so much, Denise, for having me on the show. I'm excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Now, what inspired you to do this type of work?
Well, it was my life story, to be honest, that inspired me. I wasn't always doing this. I was in the beauty industry before this, and I recognized as I began my own healing journey that I started to gain the tools and awareness to be able to see how I can also use this for other women. And I found that I didn't want women to suffer the way that I had suffered. So it was really just, I felt like my passion and my purpose to kind of go a totally different route. So I went back to school, I became an RTT therapist, got the certifications and started to learn and grow to really help women see that they could empower themselves and become their authentic self again, even despite abuse or being in environments that made them feel less than.
Now, for the audience who don't know what RTT is, can you explain that a little bit, please?
Yeah, of course. So it's called Rapid Transformational Therapy. It is done with using cognitive behavioral therapy, psychotherapy, NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and hypnosis. And so it's nothing woo-woo. We're in hypnotic states all the time. It's just being able to access this part of our brain that holds on to trauma, memories and experiences of life that maybe have gotten stuck in emotionally and mentally. And so it's able to help us move through things quicker. And that was kind of my story because I got stuck in traditional therapy. And RTT is what I found in my own healing journey that helped me transform just much faster and helped me to gain the knowledge and awareness that I needed so that I could move forward from having really severe complex PTSD.
And now, can you talk about the steps that it would take using your type of therapy to get over a trauma? First of all, figuring out what the trauma is a lot of times. I understand that, but.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as we talked about, I mostly work with women that have come out of abusive relationships or are currently in an abusive relationship and realize that something's not right. And a lot of the times, well, actually majority of the time, the reason why we get trapped in these relationships is from something from our childhood. So I really start from the childhood belief system and how you kind of look at yourself today. And a lot of women that are in these relationships don't believe that they're enough. They believe that they're not worthy, that they're not deserving. They take on other people's belief systems and feel like they have to do these things out of guilt. And they really become the essential chronic people pleaser. And that's why they kind of stay trapped. And so this therapy really kind of goes into those belief systems and helps them to see them, process them, understand where they even existed from, and then helping them to rewire their brain to create new neural pathways, to actually create self-esteem again, to find a sense of self, to find purpose, and to find that self-love again.
That's the thing too. A lot of times when we are stuffing away traumas and having those negative self-beliefs, it's almost like we're punishing ourselves.
Yes, it totally is. And that's what I call the inner critic. We all have one of those. And it usually comes from this like really critical voice. And you know, if you ever thought about, oh my gosh, I'm ruminating, I'm overthinking, or we're having this voice that's constantly like shaming us or guilting us or making us think really negative thoughts, that's your inner critic. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And I find that being a trauma survivor myself, I had a very loud inner critic. And I really want women to understand that this, you don't have to hear this voice or think that these thoughts are your thoughts. Usually they come from a very critical parent or caregiver.
Now, someone's listening to this and they recognize that they're in this situation. What are some of the steps that they can take to make a change?
Well, support. I always say the first thing you need to do is get yourself a support system. I did not do that in my own abusive relationship. When I decided that it was finally time to leave, when I finally made that jump, I think fearful of what was going to happen next, but I didn't get the support system that I needed. I should have went out and got the coaches and the therapists and the people that really maybe have been through this experience to kind of help me walk through that. So I always tell people, first thing is get a support system that's going to help you through this, because it's not easy to navigate on your own. And then also I would say that if someone's in this space, like, just to get really knowledgeable, start doing your research, okay? Who is this individual? What is happening in your environment? Because if you've been in abusive situations, most likely you're not even knowing that you're being abused. You're not knowing that you're being emotionally abused or mentally abused. Unless there's a physical piece to it, there's domestic violence. Otherwise, you're not realizing what's really going on. So it really causes a lot of brain fog. So really being able to get yourself knowledgeable. And I always say knowledge is power. So just being able to take those steps to really empower yourself.
In my past, the only really abusive relationship is, and I didn't know what narcissism was until this relationship, was I was with a narcissist. I mean, it didn't last long, but it really threw me for a loop. Because at the beginning, I felt like it was me, it was my fault. And then I finally stood my ground, but it really took a lot for me to do that. To build that confidence where it's not me.
Yeah, it's true, because that's really what happens. And to speak to your experience, that's the majority of women, right? The abuser has a great way of always pointing the finger at you and blaming you. It's your fault. You're the one that's causing this. And so you begin to believe that, because your brain learns by repetition. So all of a sudden, if someone's telling us this, we're starting to believe that this is true, and actually, most likely it's not, right? But we can't decipher the difference, because then we start to take it on emotionally and we say, okay, well, maybe this is my fault. I am guilty. I am the bad person here. How can I now make this person happy? And then we're chasing that feeling and that response from them.
And now, once you have your support group put in place, are there any other recommendations that you can give women that are in that position right now?
Yes, I would say really looking at from my journey, what would really have helped me is to understand my nervous system a little bit more. Our nervous system is really this bodily function and response to stressors or our environment. So think of it like our control center for our physical and emotional well-being. Well, if our nervous system is not in great shape, okay, it's going to react to stress. It's going to react to the environment and past traumas, and it's going to hold us back. So we're going to get triggered. We're going to get fight or flight responses. We're going to have anxiety that's going to lead to bad health, right? And then we're also going to have this insomnia, this space where we're not clear-headed. We have brain fog. And this can make you feel even more trapped in a relationship. So understanding what your dominant nervous system response is going to help you to understand, okay, what's going on? How do I make my day-to-day life? How do I feel in my body? What's going on for me? To really start to get more aware of your body sensations is going to help you to see, okay, I don't feel safe with this person. Something's not right. You'll be able to listen to your gut and your intuition more if you are in more control of what's going on in your body.
And now when I think of nervous system, it's kind of out there. It's not something you think of every day. And I mean, I've fallen and did nerve damage. And that's really the only time I think of nerves. So how can we take better care of our nervous system?
Well, you know, we don't really think about it.
No.
Because we have to. Our nervous system is an automatic body response that has been literally programmed from the time we were born, right? It knows exactly what to do to fight for your survival. And so that's why a lot of the times people don't think about it, because it's like breathing, right? We don't have to think about breathing. It just happens. And it's the same thing with these responses. And we have really main responses, and that's fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And so when we're in these stressor responses or trauma responses, it's really important to know that this is going to be what I call autopilot. So I think when you set like the pilot on the car, right, it just drives itself. Well, guess what? This nervous system is just driving itself. So if it has grown up in unsafe environments, if you have traumatic experiences that are still stored in your nervous system and you're still reacting from these spaces because the body doesn't feel safe, this is how you're going to respond to life. This is how you're going to feel. And there's just going to be this lack of balance, and you're not going to be able to handle stress. You're not going to be able to handle challenges the same way. It's going to be harder for you to achieve goals and things in life. And you're going to just stay in the state of survival. And that's it. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do or live to your full potential.
Yeah. And the thing is, when we live in stress or live in that survival mode, it pretty much shuts the rest of our bodies down too. It's focused on that and keeping us alive. Now, how does healing help with stress?
So healing, obviously, I always say the journey is not linear. There's going to be lots of ups and downs, and then it's not a destination. It's just going to be a journey of doing this. But what it does is it's about healing and being aware of your responses, being aware of your triggers, being aware of how you feel in your body, right? Being more connected to your body. We don't realize how disconnected we've become from our bodies. And because we are either looking at our phone, we're looking at a screen like I'm doing right now, or watching television, or we're not like connected, right? We're not paying attention. It's almost like we're dissociated from life itself sometimes. And if we have stress and all these other things added on the list, well, guess what? We're not like recognizing what's going on in our bodies. And we're not paying attention because we can't physically see it. It's like going to the gym and being like, oh, I go and do this because I can physically see myself change on the outside. But we forget to think about what's going on my inside.
Yeah. And now when we create that awareness, are there some steps that we can take to for someone that hasn't started that awareness?
Yeah. Well, first is it's being able to recognize, okay, what is my dominant stressor response? So, you know, fight is okay. I get really defensive and I try to control everything in my environment. Flight is like when you have that energy of I've got to go, you can't sit still. You're always on the, you know, always feeling like you got to run, or you're feeling anxious, or you're feeling like you can't really focus. That flight energy. And then freeze is when we're really shut down. And freeze is like the common response of, okay, I'm depressed. I feel despair. I feel hopelessness and helplessness. Fawn is really a behavioral response. When we are the people pleaser, when we feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I have to show up for everybody else but myself, and I have to make sure everybody else is happy. And then if they're not, what can I do to make them happy? Right. And so we kind of live our life that way and behave that way. And then that depletes ourselves. Right. And then we can't really focus. So understanding what your dominant response there is going to help you to know how you react to various situations in your life, and then help you gain more balance and resilience so that you can have more conscious control over your responses to stress.
And now, how are we supposed to feel? Like if we're not in fight, flight, or fawn or freeze mode.
Yeah.
So what's the ultimate way that we're supposed to feel?
There is a way we're supposed to feel, for sure. And granted, we're going to oscillate between, you know, having things that make us kind of panic or stress, right? I mean, that's called life. Okay.
Absolutely.
It's about not getting stuck there, right? It's about the fact that you can become more resilient, have control more over the stress. So it's like you respond to life rather than react to life. Polyvagal theory is obviously looking at the nervous system as in a ladder. So, and they call that when you're in like your safe, like open, expansive space, the ventral vagal, where you are like in safety in your body. You're like connected to your body. You're feeling really good. You feel like great to go socialize. You feel open to be you. You feel authentic. And most of all, you feel like, oh, my emotions are regulated. I'm feeling really good. Like I get up, but you feel like the normal amount of energy. You're not like lacking the energy. Yeah, you just feel overall great health and mental well-being. That's when you're in your safety. That's when what we call ventral vagal. And that's when you are able to really look at life in a different way and kind of look at life as a big picture rather than like being very narrow-minded.
Now, are there any things that we can do to put us in that safe place, even if it's for a short period of time while we're doing the healing?
Yes. So for sure, I would say for myself and my own healing journey, I found breath work was an amazing space to find that. I found making sure that you're also with people that make you feel safe. So if you're in an environment still where you are around people that make you feel fear or I can't be myself, or they're making you feel as if they're critical, all these other things that abusive relationships kind of bring in, or toxicity, then you're not going to be able to really reach that safe place. So it's more of like, who do I have around in my vicinity, right? Does this person make me feel safe? And then who do I feel most safe with in like my real self? Like kind of getting clear on that, right? Because then you're like, oh, now I know what that feels like. And I like that feeling because that makes me feel like I'm me. I don't have to pretend like I'm someone else. So that is really helpful. And then also being able to recognize what works for your nervous system to help you with your stressors. For me, it was meditation was a huge piece. For some people, it's I just need to go get in nature and go take a walk. And others, it's like, okay, I need to exercise. This is a way of me relieving my stress. Just finding the tools that you have in your routine that are going to help you cope.
That's wonderful. And that's the thing too. I notice a lot of times when you do different practices, it asks you to go back to where you felt that safeness or where you felt that happiness and remember those feelings and sort of pull it out of the filing cabinet and say, this is the way you could be feeling, right?
Yes, exactly. And that shows your brain and a reminder of, oh, this is how I want to feel. And I always tell people the mind learns by repetition. So if you want to feel that, remember, get into that emotional experience of, oh, I know. And now the brain can recall it and say, this is the way I want to feel. Show me more of this.
Absolutely. Now, I understand you have a nervous system reboot session that you're offering the audience. Can you talk about that a little bit, please?
Yes, of course. So I feel like that healing the nervous system is not just about achieving goals, but it's about transforming your life and becoming the best version of you. So I like to help people with this session just really identify again, what is their dominant nervous system response? So not only can they understand themselves more deeply, but also gain this new awareness on how they can be more aware of when they're reacting to life rather than responding, and then give you some really valuable tools that are going to help you in this response so that you can become more aware of it and then help you deal with, have the tool or the strategy that you can use to get out of that response so that you can get back into that safety where you're feeling that openness and that expansiveness. So that is like where I feel like is the biggest healing piece for so many people that need to just get more connected to their body. And I find that it is very helpful and helps people really see that they have more potential than they thought.
Absolutely. And a lot of times too, if we are living in stress or abuse or bad situations, we're not thinking clearly.
We are not. We are not able to, right? Our brain is, like I said, I always say it's foggy. And I remember being in that experience and not being able to think for myself.
Or we're not getting enough sleep, or we're depressing, getting too much sleep. Like it's really hard to sometimes pop out of that brain fog.
Yes, completely.
So we're going to wrap this up. What are your final words to the audience today? Brooke's words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom. I love it. Yes. I would say, you know what? You heal your mind, you're going to change your life, because the more that you can get in touch with this part of you that really is operating your whole entire life, and be aware of what's really going on, you're able to rewrite the stories and the narrative of your past experiences so that you can actually really achieve the things that you want to going forward.
That's nice, because life's just too short.
Yes, it is. It's too short. I completely agree.
Now, for you yourself, I mean, how long has it been since you've healed or got out of the abusive relationship?
Since 2017. So I started my healing journey in 2017, and in 2020, it just even deepened even more. And then I obviously got into this work the past few years, and it's just helped me thrive. It's helped me to reach the people that need this work so deeply. And so like they can feel freedom again.
Yeah. Well, I love what you do. And thank you for doing that. Cause I mean, A lot of women do get stuck in that rut. A lot of times you go within and you hide. Mm-hmm. So wherever you're listening or watching this, I will be putting Brooke's information everywhere. So if you want to get in touch with her, please get in touch with her and ask your questions. So thank you so much, Brooke. It was wonderful having you here today. So you mentioned you were also an author. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, my children's book is being released here in a couple weeks. It's called The Grief Monster, and it's for children and their emotional intelligence. It's about a little boy that loses his father, and that's very familiar for us because that's what happens to my children. And so with grief and seeing them grieve, I felt like this was a perfect way to kind of give back to the community for people that have had loss like that and for children that are like looking and searching for something to help them understand their grief more deeply.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Brooke. Yeah, I'm just blown away.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Denise. I really appreciate it.
Now, leaving you a gentle reminder to slow down and enjoy life, and I will see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.